Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the very eerie, extremely wicked, and quite spooky podcast. I'm your host, Raven.
And I'm your host, Ree.
And this is episode 2, season 1, where we are diving into everything that there is to know about the most infamous cults of all time. This episode, we will be talking about the Manson family cult.
Yes.
So let's get into it. So I wanted to, well, I wore a flower dress because, you know, 70s, the flower child, you know, vibes.
Yeah, I did red. I did like kind of my makeup because I did the bedazzles. And when I think of 70s, I think of very like sparkly and out there.
Yeah. We'll love that.
I don't have any neon like clothes, so otherwise I would have wore some neon.
And all the pictures from that time are just black and white, so you don't know. Maybe maybe they're just wearing muted colors. So I wanted to talk before we get into when the cult started. I wanted to kind of talk about the leader of the cult, obviously. Those are like
Charles Manson.
Yeah, those are like the masterminds behind these cults and whatnot, and we might actually start seeing trends between all of the leaders of the cults, because I mean Charles Manson did not have a very good childhood either. Just like in our previous episode, we talked about Jim Jones, and he did not have a very steady childhood either. His mom, so his mom was only 16 when she had him, so she was on 16 and pregnant, but not the TV show. Not the TV show.
Yeah.
But then also, and I think they don't really know who his real father is, his biological father, because his biological father left once the mom told her that she was pregnant.
Yeah, he was never in the picture.
Yeah. And so Manson isn't even his real last name, because his like stepdad, or the man who raised him, is his last name is Manson. He kind of took his name. But both of them were like not very good people. They I know the stepdad was like an alcoholic, which is, you know, that's a trend that we're seeing so far. I don't think his mother was an alcoholic, but she was heavily into armed robbery and just, you know, petty theft, stuff like that.
Yeah, their involvement in crime kind of passed on to him, because we see that his first time being in a juvenile reformity was at age 9.
Yeah.
And so it kind of just, he was in and out of juvenile prison, and then as he got older, it, you know, he would go to the adult reformities, so...
Yeah.
Because once you start, like, we learned that, and I took juvenile delinquency, and it's like, once that starts at an early age, it's very hard to get out of, unless you have like a good smack in the face kind of rejuvenation thing where it's like, okay, I gotta get out of this, I want to turn my life around. But in Manson's case, he never had that. He was with crime the whole, like, his whole life.
Yeah, he never, I mean, even in when he was in these detentional, I tried watching documentaries about him, but every documentary is so long.
Yeah,
like, even for the People's Temple, like, there was some that I could find, like, under an hour. But his, I guess just, like, his life was just so chaotic that he just has so much stuff going on there. So it says here that his first known crime is the burglary of a grocery store in 1948. And then he was convicted of armed robbery at age 13. So, I mean, he just, I mean, you know, I can see that, how that can, like, thing, the people he grew up, like, who raised him were both, you know, criminals. So,
yeah.
I can see how that affects him. Even, like, nowadays, people, you know, it's terrible to say, but, like, some people who have, like, alcoholic parents sometimes turn out as alcoholics, but not everyone, you know? Or, like, if you see your parent, like, I don't know, support certain politics, you usually support those same politics. You know, that's usually how
it's a trend. It's a trend. It's a pattern. So when he finally was released from prison in 67, he moved to San Francisco, which In our last episode, we talked about how Jim Jones moved his entire church to San Francisco. So San Francisco, which is also the home of the Zodiac Killer, if I'm not mistaken, that, wow, San Francisco is quite a wild place.
Yeah. Oh, and also before he had, before he moved to San Francisco, he got married in 1955. To a girl who wrote, I know that I did see this where on their marriage certificate it said that she was 17, but people suspect that she was like a couple years younger than 17.
Oh, goodness.
More like 13, 14,
15. That's just disgusting.
And I don't know how old he was in 1955. He was born
in what, the 30s? He was born 34. In 34. So.
In 1955. So he was like 20-something.
Married to a child.
Yeah, to a teenager. So, but they had a kid together. Her name was Rosalie.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. If you're new to our podcast, we have another one called The Bite Podcast, which is a fantasy, but mainly Twilight, because we're both diehard Twihards. So the name Rosalie just, oh, gosh.
The connections. We're really bringing it home, right?
Yeah.
He ended up getting married to a second lady in 1959. So very short marriage. Very short first marriage. Literally 4 years long. But oh, because I know why. Because he ended up going back to jail. And while he was in jail, I guess Rosalie was like, you know what? No. Like, I'm not doing this. So She I guess at the time she was staying with a best friend. She ended up moving out of her best friend's house and going and living with another man who ended up raising his son, basically, because she moved her and the son. And then when he got out, he married another lady named a prostitute named Candy Stevens. And they had another child also named Charles. Mm-hmm. So he had Charles Jr. and then Charles. Another Charles second. And oh boy. Going through, before they moved to San Francisco, going through this, I was like, dude, like, he manipulated the system so much.
He did.
And it makes me think, like, if someone had just maybe been like, hey, this guy keeps getting into, like, trouble and robbery, maybe we shouldn't let him off the hook this time. Because I think when he had married Candy, if I'm not mistaken, he had her go to the court and tell them, like, we're getting married and I'm pregnant, like, and I want him to be there for our kid. And the judge was like, okay, like, I'll give it a shot. But, like, part of me is like, could some of this stuff been prevented if they were just like, no, like, we're not going to give you leniency.
Yeah, we're not going to give you probation. You're going to stay here.
For one of his crimes, he got 5 years probation. For a felony. For crossing a car into, like, a stolen vehicle to another state. Five years probation.
Yeah, they were definitely lenient because those crimes nowadays have such a longer and harsher sentence. I mean, armed robbery is a felony because it's not only are you threatening, you're using a weapon, you're stealing, it's a lot. Like, you can go to life in prison for armed robbery.
Yeah, and he got let off the hook so many times. No. He was given a 10-year suspended sentence for forging a treasury check. Another felony.
This man.
A 10-year suspended sentence. Are you kidding me? He was let off the hook.
And it's just, once you're in that cycle of you're going to prison every few, like, it's like, you go to prison, get out, you go back. It's a cycle. It's like, by now, they should know he's gonna convict again. He's gonna do something again. And the fact that they didn't stop, and then it led to what happened, it just...
If he served that 10-year sentence, granted, maybe he would have gotten out on good behavior, but... I mean, he wouldn't have moved to California when he did. Like, yeah. That's why, like, things wouldn't have been completely different. And part of me is like, it's like, not to bring race into it, but at this time, especially in the 50s, you know, like, there was a lot of racial problems, racial inequalities. And I'm like, if Charles Manson was a black man or a Hispanic, like, they probably, you know, he probably would be in jail, like, for a long time. The first crime he committed, you know, like,
so they wouldn't have let him out.
Yeah, they would not have let him out. So it's like, it's just showing privilege here, and then just how well he could manipulate the system and people. Because he was very, like we said about Jim Jones, and probably this is something that we can see with every cult leader ever, that they're very charismatic, very manipulative, they know how to get what they want.
Yeah.
So, dang. But, okay, so then he moved to California, San Francisco, in 67, correct?
Yes.
He has a third child by that time, so he's already has three children. So that's a lot. In a, you know, three different children, three different women. And this is when he started setting himself up as a proclaimed guru. So this is where the cult starts to kind of form. Apparently he recruited at least 18 women at one point, and he moved all of his followers into Spahn Ranch in Los Angeles a year later.
Yeah, and the thing, like, because all cults usually have, like, a religious background, and this one did. But the main motive of, like, his cult was to spark a race war. And then it also, you had, his cult was known to have orgies, and it was this cult, just the stuff that they did and the people they recruited and how he was able to manipulate. And the thing is that I don't think many people from the original cult is still alive. I know when we get into the murders, a lot of them have already passed, and maybe I think there's one, but it's like, I think I saw an interview when I saw the interview of them when they were still alive and they were in prison, the people who were going to get into, they still were very devoted to him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they did not, they don't, once you're so in deep and you worship this person, you're so in deep that you can't, you're so devoted. Like, you're not going to go back on them. You're going to stick by.
I think one thing about any cult, these infamous cults that we talk about, because there's been so many cults. But the thing that, like, makes these so infamous is that they, like, have followings, even, like, for people nowadays. And it's, like, it's kind of scary, like, the amount of people that, like, you know,
these people.
Yeah, I mean, even after, we'll talk about this a little later, but even after, like, Charles Manson, like, got married while he was in prison.
Yeah, people will send them fan mail, and it
blows my mind. Like, their psychosis, like, what's clearly going on in their brain, you know?
Yeah.
So I do know that he was obsessed with the Beatles. And he, even the Manson family, another part of him wanting to start a cult or this, like, following is because the last time he was in prison, when he got out, apparently the people in there had told him all about, like, being a pimp and, like, how you could be your own boss and blah, 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 right? Whatever.
Yeah.
And so that is where this kind of started a little bit, because he wanted to be a pimp and he would, you know, recruit girls. He got in trouble one time for it because one of the girls that he was prostituting, her father ended up calling the cops on him. So then after that, he made it a rule that whoever he was pimping out was not able to have contact with their family at all.
Yeah.
So
that type of isolation.
And that we see that with the Jim Jones as well.
Yeah, and we'll see that with the rest of the cults that we talked about, where it's like they isolate you, they overpower you because they're using, sorry, my nose is running. I had buffalo chicken earlier, and my nose runs whenever, like, I have hot stuff. But it's these patterns of manipulative power where they cut you off, they isolate you, where you only have them and a few selected people surround you with. So then it's like, anything, and you can't even try to think of anything else, because if you try to question or you show that you're not following what they're saying, it can end badly.
Yeah. And a lot of people want to say that the Beatles were actually kind of like in fault or should take some blame for the Manson family murders, because he became obsessed with one of song of theirs, specifically called Helter Skelter. And he said that after listening to this, he would tell his followers that he would save them from worldwide chaos. Because I guess the song kind of hints at maybe there being like a power struggle between black and white people. And that the world would turn to chaos. At least that's what Manson interpreted it. I do know that the song is kind of hints more towards like race wars and stuff like that. Which is, I mean, stuff that we're seeing even now to these days. And I guess it was even just more heightened back then. I don't know if Manson was where he... I mean, I can kind of guess where he lies on that spectrum. Like, if he's, like, pro-equality, pro-not. Because, I mean, he has a Nazi symbol tattooed in his forehead.
Yeah, he was... He described himself as a white supremacist.
Yeah, so he was like, oh, well... There you go. Like, we're not, we don't want that. So I can, you know, he was very manipulative to his followers. So the first murders that we see, 1969, is the first one I see, July 25th. It was Gary Hinman, a music teacher who introduced Manson to Dennis Wilson of the Beach Boys. He was tortured and killed in his home by one of the Manson followers, Bobby, I don't know how to say his name, Beausoleil, something like that. And they ended up writing the words political piggy paint on the wall with his blood.
Yeah, they were known to do that with the other murders, I believe, as well.
Do we know how many people, like, what is the total tally of people that we know that they've killed?
Well, you got the LaBiancas, and I know that was two, and that was after the murder of Shannon Tate, and her, I think her she had three friends with her, so that was six, and then this one's seven. I think that's about the right, because I think when I did research on this a while ago, there was, but I could be wrong, because Manson has, before he died, he would claim responsibility for a lot of crimes, including an attempted assassination on the president at the time, and other assaults. So, I think seven.
Like, official seven, but I would not be surprised if there's some that we, like, don't even know about, you know?
Yeah.
To this day. But, so, thankfully, 2 weeks later, for the Gary Hinman one, he was booked on murder charges. So that kind of got some... I think the murders got justice for the most part. You know, like, all of them, you know, got convicted. And I guess it just sucks that this was, like, the... It had to come to him starting a cult and killing people for him to, like, finally, like, be put where he belonged. And, you know, I'm not... I don't know.
I think that's right. I think he was already in prison, when the Tate murders happened, but he still was responsible, because he told his followers, I think it was three women and one male who did it, and he still had encouraged and,
Yeah, so August 8th and 9th in 1969, Atkins, Krenwinkel, Kasabian, and Charles Watson went to the Benedict Canyon home of Sharon Tate and Roman Polanski and killed the 26-year-old pregnant actress. They also killed Abigail Folger, Wojtek Frykowski, Jay Sebrick, and Stephen Parent. And then they wrote the word pig on the front door using a towel that was dripped in Sharon Tate's blood. Which is, that was something that I think that really, like, because Sharon Tate was, like, really well known. Like, you know, she,
Yeah. In
everyone loved
Roman.
her. She was like kind of like a sweetheart, I guess, like a Hollywood sweetheart.
Yeah, she was a actress well known to be a great person. She's very talented. And then her husband, Roman Polanski, famous director. I think I've seen several of his movies, not knowing who he was, because it's, but once you hear like the name of the movies, and you're like, oh, yeah. And she was in a few of his movies as well. And oh yeah, The Pianist, Oliver Twist, what else? Rosemary's Baby. I think that's the one. Wait, is Rosemary's Baby the one? No, that's Mia Farrow. But it was Rosemary's Baby that he was gone. He was gone filming and directing this movie when the murders took place. So
So he
he
was
couldn't.
not, he did not
He,
die.
yeah, he, yeah.
He
He
wasn't
didn't
there.
die. He wasn't there. He was in. Where was it? Yeah, I think. I don't know where the movie was filmed, but he was not at the home when it took place. Yeah.
So, after the murders, like the day after the murders, it says that some more of his followers, so Van Houten, Watson, and Krenwinkel, are dispatched to kill Leno and Rosemary LaBianca at their Los Feliz home. So they did. And they wrote the words rise and death to pigs and a misspelling of the Beatles song. Instead of putting helter skelter, they put heelter skelter in the blood on the walls of the house. So that was their. I think their last murders.
Yeah, by then they were they were caught and taken.
So, well, right after that, actually, because that happened in August, so I guess like
Oh.
not soon after, they ended up relocating to Death Valley, and then that's when they got arrested in October. So, like a couple months after the murders, they got arrested for on suspicion of auto theft.
Oh, yeah, that sounds about right.
And then they went to jail, and well, they ended up having the pictures of them going to trial just scare are just so weird because they're like smiling and they look
Oh,
like.
yeah. There's no remorse.
No,
There's
not
no
at all.
remorse, no regret. They look proud of themselves. There was the one, like, the. Excuse my language, but the bitch who killed Sharon Tate in an interview, like, said with like no emotion at all that yeah, she was like, yeah, she was begging for her life. She was like, please, my baby. Because Sharon Tate was 8.5 months pregnant. She was about to have her baby. And Sharon, she's begging for her life. And the woman was all like, I don't give a fuck about you or your baby. I'm going to kill you right here, right now. And it's just like, what kind of person,
Monster.
what kind of monster? Yeah, no, they're not a person. That's a monster. That the lack of empathy and just it's so
Disgusting, like.
And then and then it's like they were all sentenced to death. But then, because California overturned the death penalty, it was changed to life in prison, which, yeah, so yeah, it's like, yeah, they were never gonna get out. So I guess there was justice there, but it's just, there's some crimes where I'm like, you know what? You don't even deserve to stay on this earth. Like,
Yeah.
you just, like, you need to be gone.
I was gonna tell you, I do have a weird connection to one of the ladies that was I believe it might be Van Houten. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, it has to be Van Houten because well, she used to be my aunt. She was like dating my uncle, whatever drama tea. She went to jail in California because that's where she's from, and her cellmate was Van Houten.
Holy shit. Wow.
Yeah. And I remember her telling me that, and I was like, what the heck? Like, I would not be able to be in that, like,
That proximity.
at all.
Oh my God.
Like, I would probably end up having to stay in jail longer. Because.
Yeah, because I would probably attack them.
Yeah.
That just, oh my God.
I could have sworn it was her. Whichever one of them, it has to be her because I'm pretty sure. One of them was in Orange County jail, I believe, or ended up getting transferred, and that's where
Let's see. Well, Susan Atkins was, where was she? I can't, let me see. 'Cause Susan Atkins, she was released, because she had terminal brain cancer. So they were ended up releasing her for like a little bit so that she could have like the rest of her time on Earth. Yeah, she
Yeah.
got compa she got compa wait. Wait, no. I thought, oh wait, did see, I thought this, okay, it says here that her compassionate release was denied, but I thought they did end up giving her it because she, I know she, like, she had terminal brain cancer and illness. Oh, she had one leg
Oh yeah, so
amputated.
it is Leslie Van Houten, because she was in Orange County, I believe so. Or hold on here. Something. But Leslie Van Houten also has applied for parole, and they denied her.
Oh yeah, see, I just read that because she, Susan Atkins was also at Orange County. I think a lot of them were at Orange County
At some
because that's
point, yeah.
where, yeah, because that's where the murders took place. So it said that she had, so Susan Atkins had actually requested to be paroled. She attended 60 parole hearings, and then when she wanted compassionate release, the district attorney had, I was gonna deny it because he said it would be a grave miscarriage of justice to burden the citizens of Orange County by paroling her to Orange County, where she can enjoy the comforts of her husband, because she got married, I think, in prison too, or just shortly before the murders took place, she got married.
Yeah.
She's in of her husband home and Mercy. She did not show Sharon Tate or her unborn baby, because Susan Atkins was the one who is
The
said to have been
monster,
the,
yeah.
yeah, the one to have butchered Sharon Tate. And what did it say by this point? Yeah, and even Sh and Sharon Tate's own like surviving immediate relative who was there, who was alive at the time, she was opposed of the compassionate release. And then
Also,
yeah, it
Charles Manson also in 2012 applied for parole, and obviously was denied,
Yeah.
and because he bragged to a psychologist that he's a very dangerous man, and it's like, why would you even like, if I were like trying to like if I was a psycho and I was trying to be let out of jail, I wouldn't tell them that. Like, he's just crazy,
Yeah.
and he ended up dying in 2017. Finally,
Yeah.
at the age of
Finally.
83.
I mean, I might sound heartless, but honestly, I don't care. But when I saw the news that that came out, I called my mom and I was like, oh my God, can you believe who just finally died? And she's like, I know, like, finally. Because
Like,
my mom and my dad are also kind of big on like true crime and this. And so my dad was a kid when this happened. And then my mom, of course, grew up hearing about it. So we've always, we're all like, man, when is that man finally gonna just leave this earth?
yeah, and it's super weird because I'm looking at pictures and they all showed up to court with like an X on their head.
Oh, they had, he, well, I think that actually, wait, let me see a picture of the her.
Because I'm looking, I think the, I don't know if the girls, because I'm looking at before and after, so they have it in the befores, but in the afters they don't. And actually, I hate to say it, but Leslie Van Houten, I think I'm pretty sure my aunt told me that she was like a nice lady. But I guess, like, you know, some people.
Maybe some people can actually have some heart.
Yeah, and you know, some people end up going to jail, and it's really hard to. I think that Atkins, a monster, like 100% disgusting, like never in my like. But so I honestly feel bad for some of these people, just because. I'm not trying to excuse anything that they've done because it's terrible. But they were like being manipulated by this man that, you know, but then also like there also has to be something like wrong with you to think that when someone tells you to go like murder someone that you're like, all right, I guess I'll go do that, you know? So yeah. Like part of me wants to be like they were manipulated, but then another part of me is like, but they're adults. And
yeah, it's I understand where you're coming from because, you know, we're very compassionate people. So yeah. It's like when we see that people were obviously manipulated and stuff and it could have been prevented, like you can't help but feel sorry for them. And then again, like you said, they were adults, like they were capable. They had the mental capacity of making the decision to not go through with it. They could have easily just fled, like restart their life, go somewhere new and act like they were never a part of that. But
yeah, I mean, and I guess also, you know, it makes me think of like other kind of, because this one was not really led by a religious kind of motive, right?
Yeah. So he kind of had the idea to like, he had like, basically, from what I've gathered, the cult was based around an impending apocalypse, but it was going to be sparked by a race war where black people were going to rise up and kill all the whites. And that's what, like, and that the white people needed a leader to lead them through this war.
And he was that leader.
And he was that leader. Yeah. He was delusional.
Yeah.
He was Robert Pattinson's in the Devil's Time, delusions. And so, yeah, that's basically what it was. It was an impending apocalypse. He had the faux motive of an impending apocalypse in order to go through with his racial persecution against people. And he also, because I'm looking at the bios of the people who took place in the murders, and I'm looking at Kruenwinkel, and she was someone who easily was manipulated, and all because of her background. She had low self-esteem. She was always bullied. She had excessive growth of body hair because of an endocrine condition. Mm-hmm. So that left her, like, she was teased, and it's like her parents divorced when she was a teenager. So he was like, when people are vulnerable, they're easily manipulated.
Yeah, so I'm looking here, so now that I'm looking at her more, it is Leslie Van Houten that my aunt shared a cell with. And she's 71 years old now. She's still alive. Apparently, yeah. She applied for parole for the fourth time in 4 years in 2020. And it was denied. But wait, is she...
I'm looking at...
No.
I think what happened was... She almost got released. Like, some, they had initially approved of a release, but then they overturned it.
Oh, that sucks. Imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, because it says that she's had 2019 was her 22nd parole hearing. Oh, wow. And the parole board, they had almost done it, but then the governor overruled the recommendation saying she's still a danger to society. She could still do violence. Mm-hmm.
They're just gonna wait until she like can't walk anymore for their. Yeah. Like, well, maybe now, but I think because some people who were in cults end up going to jail, and you know, maybe they find religion, or they find, you know, they also sometimes they have counseling and stuff like that too. And so I don't know if maybe she's one of the ones that kind of like is like kind of changed her life around. But then sometimes also it's like, also like Chris Watts said he changed his life around with the Bible, and I'm like, like no.
Sometimes they'll say anything to get out of prison.
Yeah. And I think she's using her like old ladiness to like try to make people feel bad for her. Spark.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen the lady, or I've never like talked to the lady. I don't know, you know, but I don't know. I think if you were easily manipulated to go into a cult for the first time, there's nothing to tell me that you won't be easily manipulated to go into a cult for the second time.
Yeah, I agree.
Like nothing.
And I'm sorry, but it's like at the end of the day, you made a decision to get stuck so deep in this that you followed orders to kill innocent people.
Yeah.
Like.
And I think that I feel like even if, you know, the ones that are still alive now, they should be grateful that California is as liberal as it is, and, you know, change that death penalty, because if not, they would be dead right now.
Oh, hell. So if they did this in they did that in Texas or Florida, the chair.
Out. They'd be gone, probably already.
Like, I mean, we're probably gonna definitely do an episode on him, but Tim Bundy, had he gotten convicted in Washington or Oregon where he initially did the killings, he probably would have been in life in prison, but they convicted him in Florida, and that's how he got the death penalty. He should, because there's just some people who deserve the death penalty, in my opinion.
And I think that I always knock stuff down when we record. I think that if Charles had Manson had admitted to killing one person here in Texas, Texas would have been like, expedite him over here. We're gonna kill him right now. Like, let's go.
Yeah. Texas. It's either you get capital murder in Texas. You get one of two things, depending on who the jury or the judge that's doing it. Mm-hmm. You get life in prison without parole, or you get death. And majority of the time, it's going to be death.
And, I mean, I'm not sure where you stand on death penalty, but I'm, like, I'm for it for people who deserve it.
I'm for it for people who deserve it. If it is, like, 100%, there's no evidence that can contradict anything that will make them innocent, then go ahead. Because, I mean, like, there's some people who, you know, I felt deserved it, mm-hmm, because it was like, there's no other way. Like, and what they did was cold blood. Like, they deserve it. And then it's like, they get life, or they eventually were able to get parole. And I'm like, are you insane? And then there's some cases where I'm like, no, they can't get it. Like, there could be something that will overturn, like, show that they're innocent. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm basically for it if it's 100%, like, they did it in cold blood, and
I have a list of people, and it's a very short list, of people who I think need to get the death penalty right now. Chris Watts.
Yes.
And then, like, second, Chris Watts.
Second, Chris Watts. I'm gonna be honest, Jodi Arias, I thought she should have gotten it because of what, like, the extent that she did to that man, which we're going to probably have an episode more than likely on her. Jodi Arias should have gotten that.
They definitely should have. And I think I can see the flip side where people are like, no, like, don't give them the death penalty so they can live with what they did. But then it's like,
there's some people who we, like we said, has no remorse. So they're going to live with that and just look at it like a brush, like a dust on their shoulder, and brush it off.
Yeah. I don't think Jody Arias or Chris Watts have any remorse whatsoever and anywhere in their brain.
Yeah. And like Charles Manson, he never once said that he regretted what he did. He always stood by. He always was like, yeah, I did that and I'd probably do it again. He was responsible for this and he's lucky. Like you said, he's lucky California overturned the death penalty. And I think
also another thing is afterlife stuff, but I'm I don't know if I necessarily believe in heaven and hell, but I know that wherever, the people who were wrongfully murdered is not the same place that these people who are literally psychopaths are going to go. Wherever it is, I think that they will be condemned to their soul. That's just so much to I'm a very heavy believer in soul and maybe not afterlife, but reincarnation and stuff like that.
I believe in reincarnation.
Do you know how much karmic, how much karma you're putting onto your soul? And it's just that soul can never be I don't know.
I mean, whenever I hear that a serial killer or someone who's been, who did a horrible crime, when I find out their headstone has been defaced, I'm just okay, what about it? What they did to their victims had no remorse. Why should I feel remorse that their freaking headstone got defaced?
Yeah. I wonder what Charles Manson's zodiac sign is.
He's a Scorpio. I believe, yeah, he's a Scorpio. I think it said November.
Yeah, he's a Scorpio.
He's November 12th. He's a Scorpio.
Let's see. And Jim Jones is a Taurus.
And they always talk about those Scorpio and Taurus men.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my father is a Scorpio, but he's 40 something years old, but he's not a cult leader. dang.
Let me see something. I'm trying to.
I don't know, dude. I can't even imagine. Like I said last episode, that I kind of try to put myself in these scenarios. Mm-hmm. Cults are always going to be one that I'm I can't ever, murderous cults.
Deadly cults. They scare me.
I can never see myself being a part of any situation like that.
Whenever when I read about these people and the leaders, or watch documentaries and hear them talk about how, I am the prophet, I am the second coming, I just can't help but think, are you delusional?
I'm not even a heavy Well, I'm very spiritual, but I'm not a church person, because stuff like that to me is someone saying that they are a direct line to a being is kind of a prophecy, no? And it's people who claim that they are prophecies to me are leaders of cults.
Yeah, and I believe it also says that in the Bible, impersonation or speaking on the behalf of God is a sin. So these cult members are sinning the exact thing that they're trying to give off. And it's anyone who's read the Bible or dissected the commandments would know it's actually a sin to speak on the behalf of God or to impersonate and to idolize. Mm-hmm. So that's why they target vulnerable people who they know isn't going to question.
Yeah, and that's another thing with we didn't talk about it last time, but there's so many churches that do what Jim Jones did.
Oh, we have some in South Carolina.
The fake miracles, the, you know, the kind of like extraness, the exorcisms. At some point, I was on like exorcism TikTok where it was like at churches and like regular, like a regular church. It wasn't like at like no like house or anything like that. It was at church and people were being like exorcised on the floor. And I'm sitting here like, dude, if I was sitting in that church, I would walk out.
Oh, yeah.
I would not sit there and be like, yes, please deliver this, expel this demon from this wall. I'd be like, that girl has a demon in here? Peace out. I'm out.
I've had enough.
Let me go ahead and get my protective crystals and my...
My herbs.
My sage. Where's my black salt? I need to go. I'm going to literally throw some at her. Don't come near me, demon. I can't. Like, that... This is just wild. And I'm... Cults are just one of those things that I don't think I can ever see myself ever being. I mean, Twilight cult is different because we don't... We're not killing people.
We're not. We're just obsessing over these fictional characters. Yeah. And
these fictional characters aren't telling us to go kill people.
Exactly. So,
in fact, they actually very... Like, they look down on murdering on people, so...
Yeah. Except Rosalie. She got her revenge, which we stand.
You won't see any of us going and murdering people because Twilight... But, no. Dude, I don't even, it just baffles my mind, stuff like this. And she was pregnant.
She was 8.5 months. I got lipstick on my teeth. She was 8.5 months. She was almost there, and it's just, she's at her house, her sanctuary. When you're at home, you feel safe. So she's at her home with her friends, getting ready to have a baby. Her husband is away doing work, and all of a sudden, these people spewing these crazy things come and slaughter you all and give you no remorse at the fact that you want to live because you're carrying a child.
And also, I think it also attests to how things were back then. You know, there weren't a lot of alarm systems. You never really locked your door that much. Because you felt safer, you know, like...
People didn't lock their doors back then. They didn't lock their doors or their windows. They would leave their cars unlocked. Because people would just be like, oh, this would never happen.
Yeah. And then, oh my, I think that just stuff like that, when I start, like, every time we, like, because we're starting to having to do research for these things, too, and I just get so paranoid. I'm like, well, the good thing is that my back door is broken, so, like, you can't even open it from the outside. Like, someone has to come open. I'm like, okay, that's good. I'm like, garage door, lock. Front door, lock. My husband's like, let's get a gun. I hate guns. I'm not like, guns, you know? So I'm like, I don't really want a gun, but he wants a gun. And I'm like, can we just get like pepper spray or something?
Yeah. Oh, I have pepper spray. I want to get like those, like I've seen them on TikTok. It's like those window breakers that you can also use as like a shank. Mm-hmm. My dad has a gun. I'm not big on guns either. I'm very, and I'm also like advocate for gun safety and gun control, mm-hmm. but my dad has one. I do believe, like, if you know how to use it and you're using it for self-defense, then go off. So it's like my parents were gone I think like 2 weeks ago, so I was the only one that was home because my brother had went back to campus, so it was just me and my dog until except one night because I had my friends over. So the two nights that I was sleeping in the house, the big house by myself, it's like locked all the doors, made sure all the doors were locked, all the things were locked, made sure our cameras were working. And then when I slept in my parents' room with my dog, locked the door, it just...
Yeah, and safety. I think it makes things like the Ring camera, like all those little things, like so much more beneficial in these times. Because at least, like, there's some sort of like warning or you get a face, you know? Which is literally, I know we're not doing this, not a Chris Watts episode, but that's literally what got him caught.
Yeah.
He would have maybe gotten away with it if the neighbor did not have a camera.
Yeah, Chris Watts, when we do that episode on him, I try not to get so biased and heated with this like podcast and with this series, because it's like we're trying to present information, but we're also going to give our opinion. Mm-hmm. But it's just some of these cases that we're going to get into, and especially like this one and the Jim Jones one that we talked, you just can't help, because it's like, it makes you angry. Like, how could this happen? Why? Why did these people do this?
So angry. It just, and also, well, because that's something that the Manson murders and that Chris Watts have in common. They both had no remorse to a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
And that's diabolical.
Diabolical. And
which is why
Susan Atkins,
we can get to our ending segment of what we are, our little consensus, if we think that this story is very eerie, extremely wicked, or quite spooky. I'm going to say extremely wicked.
Extremely wicked. Like, this one, I definitely, it was diabolical. It was, you know.
And they didn't have any real motive. It was just.
Let me see. Because if I'm not mistaken, Manson, the reason why they went to the house in the first place was because of who previously lived there. I guess, like, it was who previously. He said, you need to go to this person's house. Like, this house that this person used to live. So it's like, the person I think they were even targeting wasn't even there. They no longer lived, like.
It seems like, because the first person that they killed was that musician producer guy, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why the second, with the Sharon Tate murders, those don't really seem very, like, it's kind of doesn't fit who they were, like, targeting, I guess you can say, because oh my god, my phone's spazzing.
The house where Melcher used to live. I don't know who Melcher was.
So look, here is that the Donald Shea murder, the only reason that they killed him was because they believe that he passed information to the police. So there's one there.
That's one motive.
It says here that the La Bianca family, he was a supermarket executive. It doesn't really say a motive, like, why they killed him, but, like.
Oh, okay, so we had Sharon Tate and her unborn baby, then we had, which also, you know, if this happened in Texas, because I don't think in California at the time, that technically, because I know within Chris Watts' case, and now in general, if you murder a pregnant woman, you're basically murdering two people. So the unborn child wasn't counted as a victim, even though really should have been. Then you had
she was really far along. She you know, she could have popped at any moment.
Yeah. So it was Sharon Tate. It was Jay Sebring, who was a noted hairstylist, and her former lover. Then you had Wojcicki Frykowski, who was a screenwriter, and then Abigail Folger, who was the heiress to the Folger's coffee fortune. So, so it was them four. And I'm trying to see what was the motive for them, because I guess it was just to spark hysteria,
yeah.
So that of an impending race war,
and they wrote pig on the thing, and the pig is usually associated with a cop.
Yeah.
So maybe they had information, or you know, were were ratting out or something, you know?
I'm just gonna Google what was the motive of the Tate murders. Charles Manson's own story. This is from Time. He wanted to kill Terry Melcher, who, so it was the house that Melcher used to live, because Melcher refused to make a record with Manson, because Melcher was a music producer. Yeah,
he wanted to become a famous, they have songs.
Yeah, oh God.
And they're creepy.
Yeah, so that's what it was. He was targeting, I guess he was targeting Melcher, but, or, and I guess so he murdered Tate and whoever was there as, like, a warning to Melcher, like, this is what's gonna happen to you because you used to live in this house, so, it's, I don't understand why he had to, no. Like, even honestly, then, you should
just go find Melcher. Like, you already killed one guy. Like, and you
it's like, why, yeah, why go kill innocent people?
Who have nothing to do with what you want, like, it, I don't know. That's why it's extremely wicked, because he was just doing it, like, let's just kill these people, they have nothing to do with what this is, but let's send a message, and it's like, why send a message when you could just go directly to the source, you know?
Yeah, it.
Like, not that I wanted them to kill this Melcher guy, but
yeah,
you know, there's people innocent who lost their lives, innocent people who lost their lives because Manson wanted to be like secretive and hidden and like send a message.
God, I cannot.
That's stupid. Yeah, I don't like them. And there's been lots of movies about them.
Yes, there's been quite a few. Sarah Paulson, in American Horror Story Cult, I believe, Sarah Paulson played Susan Atkins. Mm. I'm like, oh, why? She did great from what I heard. I haven't watched that season yet, but God.
Yeah, there's been lots of media songs, movies, TV shows that, you know, that are inspired or, like, I don't know, like, give, like, nod to, like, I don't even like saying, like, give a nod to, like, are inspired, I don't want to say inspired, that are just, what's the word for it, like,
Give attention
to it. That's another thing, because I don't want people ever to think that we're doing this podcast to, like, give attention to the murderers. Like, it's, we are, like, you know, or anything like that. Because there's none of these people that we ever talk about that are murderers. I don't think any of them I'm ever going to say, like, oh, I feel bad for, you know, Charles Manson. Or, you know, like, oh, I give my remorse, you know, like the people who, like, are in love with Ted Bundy, or the people who are, like, in love with Richard Ramirez. Like, I will never sit there and be like, oh, he's so hot. Like, never.
Oh,
so
disgusting.
Yeah, I don't. I will say that the whole reason that people usually fall in love with these cult leaders are because they're usually handsome. Charles Manson, I think in his younger years, was a handsome guy. When he started getting more psychotic, he literally ruined himself. And how could you, like, he's a white supremacist. He has a Nazi symbol on his forehead. Like, no. Yeah.
We're not and even. And I mean, he was very open about the fact that he did LSD. And that's what a lot of his followers did. Yeah. Which, if you know what LSD is, that is basically hallucinogenic, drug that gives you delusions. So
I need to put a clip of Robert Pattinson saying delusions.
That could be in the sneak peek.
Yeah, but it's just Ugh, I can't. These people, like, infuriate me. And I just, I mean, if there's one thing that you can do as a parent, as a big sister, is to make sure that your children or your siblings are not stupid or, like, vulnerable enough to follow a cult. There, although I do want to say that there are, like, there is one cult that I've seen before. They're called, like, the Unicorn Space somethings. I don't know. But they're all about, like extraterrestrials people. But apparently they're not, like, a dangerous cult. So, and it's a cult that's happening now. Like, it's, like, a thing now. I wonder if I could put, if I can find it so I can, because there was, what is that one festival that people always go to? It's not Heaven's Gate. It's, like, a, is it a space cult? What is it? Oh, okay, okay. I put unicorn cult and it popped up. This is what, so the unicorn cult, they, I remember seeing them from the Burning Man. They have a website called Cult of Unicorn. The unicorn is, the unicorn knows it is unicorn, but may hide it from the world. Is unicorn rejects the boredom and common things of average life and strives for more. I guess it's just like a cult of people being unique, but I do know that they are a sex cult.
Oh, that's
so they have a thing going on. They're polyamorous, and you know, I hope it doesn't turn deadly like the cults that we've seen.
Yeah, or it turns a little too problematic where you have minors involved, like the LDS Church.
We don't have an. We're not gonna have an episode on them, but wow, those men really, really, really. I mean, some of the women there want to leave. They just can't. But they use their women as like child birthing machines.
I know.
And it's terrible. Like, they are disgusting. Just popping out babies. And actually, I saw TikTok too about the Duggar family, and it says that the Duggar family is in a cult.
I saw that. I know what to, exactly which one you're talking about.
It says that they're in a cult of people who believe that you need to have as many children as possible to populate the world.
Yeah,
and I'm saw like, that one. They have. I think they have like, how many people? How many children did the Duggars have?
They had 19. They had, I know they had 19 because I know she miscarried like 3. I'm just not like,
that's too many.
I mean, I don't want to be that person, but God, her cooter cat must really
be hurting.
Hurting.
Unless she gets C-sections, is what?
Yeah.
I was saying.
God, like, you know, at that point, that many eggs, I would just sell them and get money.
I mean, you'd be doing the same thing. Like, that's still, like, to your, like, belief, you'd still be populating the earth.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But also, like, maybe let's stop on populating the earth for a little bit.
Let's, yeah, the human race has really disappointed me, so I think we should just stop.
For a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Because, geez. Well, that was a very
interesting episode, but I think it was good and successful. Yeah. So we hope that you guys listening or watching, wherever you're watching or listening from, we hope you enjoyed it just as much as we did talking about it.
Make sure you go follow us on all of our socials. We have our Instagram, Extremely Wicked Podcast. You can find our Spotify link there. And somewhere on YouTube. And then we have our TikTok. Our TikTok is the Extremely Wicked Pod. Forgive our names being a little everywhere, We can't fit the very eerie, extremely wicked, and quite spooky podcast in any name username yes, handle.
And although we don't use Twitter that much, we do have one. It's at Very Eerie Pod. Again, we're sorry, but Twitter only lets you have 15 characters, and I was one character off when I tried to do Extremely Wicked Pod.
We should request for them just to like have an allowance for us to have a long name.
Exactly. And yeah, so be sure to check out our other podcast, which is the Bi Podcast with Raven and Ree. You can go follow us on any social media there. We talk about Twilight. We're in the middle of our Midnight Sun series. So if you like Twilight and you've read Midnight Sun, you should definitely go check it out and watch as we give our thoughts and opinions. We also have the episode that we mentioned before on this podcast about the People's Temple and Jim Jones. That was a really good episode and had some interesting conversations. So, Raven, if you want to talk about what our next episode is going to be before we do our outro.
The next episode is going to be about the Children of God.
Which, if you guys have ever heard of that, that is the cult that Joaquin and River Phoenix's family used to be a part of. Dang. So that's going to be an interesting episode, which I'm very excited for because I haven't done much research on Children of God, so I'm very interested to do research on this one.
Yeah, I think I've always heard about it, but I never really understood like what they're a religious motivated cult, but you know, I don't know like exactly what their gist is, I guess.
Yeah. And that will mark the halfway point of our pilot season for this podcast. Yeah,
that will be our third episode. So we're halfway through. We're almost halfway through season one. Yes. So
we'll probably announce what season two will be after that episode.
Yeah. Once we get closer to the end. That episode will be out on February the 15th, I believe. So February 15th, Children of God. Mark it on your calendars, because it's coming. It's coming for y'all.
Yes.
All right, guys. Well, we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye, y'all.